Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. The book is I Used to Have Cancer. Our guest is James Templeton, who writes about his remarkable saga of survival from deadly melanoma. He, as you heard part one, he was suffering from stage 4 melanoma, metastatic, given a dismal prognosis, told of the need for harsh chemotherapy coupled cryotherapy. I'm sorry, cryotherapy is the opposite, heat therapy. And also just became aware that there was another avenue, and that was via diet change. So which way did you go? Was it an all or nothing thing? Did you decide to abandon conventional treatment, or did you combine conventional treatment with a dietary approach?
Well, at that time, you know, I didn't know for sure, but when I read about Dirk's story and about his recovery from prostate cancer, and he used the macrobiotic diet, I'd never heard of the macrobiotic diet, so I thought, you know, I needed to know more about it. So I had my friend go out and get the book, that Dirk's book, and he brought it back. He found it in a bookstore. He brought it back, and I couldn't put it down because I felt like, hey, I could relate to this guy. You know, if he could do it, why couldn't I recover from cancer using this diet and lifestyle? So I had made up my mind. I was very excited about everything I read, and I felt like, you know, I could do it, and I was really, you know, gonna do it. And I got just very, very excited, started to get this feeling that I had, you know, a little bit of my will started to come back. Mm-hmm. I had this feeling that, you know, I might be able to do it after all. So I'm laying there, I'm feeling pretty good about things now. The next day I got another knock on the door that was very important, because it was a book that was delivered to me. It was my stepmother actually delivered to me. A distant relative sent it to her, and it was about vitamin C and cancer. And it was a book that Linus Pauling wrote, and that's the name of it, Vitamin C and Cancer. And it talked about how people that had late stage cancer did very well with high dose vitamin C therapy. Well, I'd never heard of anything like that either. I knew of vitamin C, but I didn't know anything about it. So here I had the macrobiotic diet that was brand new. Now I've got the vitamin C. And if it would help all these people recover or even live longer, you know, using high amounts of vitamin C, then why wouldn't it help me too? So now I've got two things that I was going to use in my plan of recovery. And I was going to, you know, really put this into good use. But I would also do the chemotherapy too, because if a little's good, a lot's better. So, you know, I'd just go ahead and do this chemotherapy, and I'd get through it all, you know, and I would have a better chance possibly. So the next day I'm laying there in the hospital room, I got another knock on the door, and this guy comes through the door and he says, "Hello, I'm the psychotherapist. I'm the psychotherapist from the cancer ward." And he says, "I've heard you're very depressed and not feeling too good about things, and maybe I could come and talk to you. Is that possible?" He says, "I think I can help you." And I said, "Sure." And he comes back the next morning. He comes in, and I said, right off the bat, "I want to ask you a question." I said, have you ever heard of something called macrobiotics? And he looked at me, and he turned around and took off towards the door, and I thought he was leaving or something. I didn't know why I said the wrong thing. And he goes over, and he shuts the door of the room really tight, comes back over and sits down by my bed. He says, yes, I have heard about the macrobiotic diet and lifestyle, but he says, I won't tell you what I know unless you promise to not let anybody know about our conversation.
Right, right.
He says to me, I don't want to lose my job, my pension, all that. I've been here 25 years or something like that. He says, will you promise? And I said, I won't tell a soul. And he says, okay, well, what I've heard about the macrobiotic diet over the years is unbelievable. He says, I've had a lot of friends, you know, that have had cancer and that have tried this diet. I've tried it. Some did well. He says, I couldn't stick with it. He said, I don't have cancer, but I thought it was a healthy diet and I wanted to try to do it. It takes a lot of work. He says, I've read a lot of things about other people that have done very well on this. He said, it takes a lot of determination. And he says, by the way, you don't seem very depressed after all. And he went on to say, you seem like you're looking for something.
Well, you were excited. Empowered because instead of being a passive victim of cancer, suddenly you decided that you were going to get on top of it and undertake a program of self-care rather than just being just passively succumbing to conventional treatment.
Yeah, I was excited, and I was up for the challenge, and I felt like, you know, I needed this to get me out of this funk that I was in. And so anyway, he went on to tell me, he says, I think you could do it, but you've got to know, you got to put 150% into it. You can't do it halfway. There's a right way and a wrong way. And he says that people that do the best are the ones that really do it right and don't cut corners. So I always remembered what he said. And, you know, by him confirming the things that I had learned, it made me really feel that, you know, I really, truly was going to get well from this.
Mm-hmm. And well, you got a sense of validation, you know, from that. That was almost like a miraculous intercession. I mean, he didn't do much as a psychologist, but just by the confluence of events, it locked you in to compliance with a very challenging program. I was macrobiotic at the time myself. In fact, I treated many patients in the 1980s with cancer with a macrobiotic diet, and thought that it was the end all and be all of dietary approaches. I've since modified my views. But for cancer, it's a very plausible approach. So what ended up happening? How long did you adhere to the diet?
Well, what happened is I ended up getting through the first five treatments of chemotherapy, because they do it in five treatment increments. You know, every 2 months I go in and get five more treatments. So I left after my first week of the hypothermia, you know, chemotherapy, and I made it through it somehow. It was rough.
Because, pretty devastating.
It really was. It really was. But I made it. So I went home. I started to read everything I could. I started to eat, you know, rice and beans and all that, just the basic stuff to try to get myself
brown rice, of course.
On board.
Yeah.
Yes. It was brown rice, organic. Everything was organic. But I tried my best to get started on it, and I started to feel better, you know, and I wasn't doing the vitamin C yet. But I was going to do the diet first and just kind of get into that and read everything I could read and learn everything I could. And, believe me, I started to feel better within, you know, just a few weeks, started to really feel the difference. But I knew that it was almost the 2 months was up. I had to go back into the hospital again for another week and do the chemotherapy, because they would have you there. It'd take 8 to 10 hours each day with an IV in your arm. And it wasn't one of these where you go in for 2 hours and get chemotherapy and go home. It was bad stuff, and I had to be there, and I felt like I was a human, some kind of experiment, you know. In a, it was terrible.
It was an experiment, because there at the time there was no standard treatment for melanoma that was uniformly accepted or successful. So, you know, it was just on a wing and a prayer. So really, I mean, one can say, you know, is your survival due to the conventional treatment? Well, I actually. One could say that, but it's quite unlikely, because that type of therapy has long been abandoned for the treatment of melanoma. It just doesn't really work out well. So we can attribute your recovery largely to the things that you did on your own behalf.
Yeah. So I'm laying there the next time, and I think they doubled or tripled it because I'd never been so sick in my life. I felt like I was in a torture chamber or something. And I just remember just how sick I was. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I was just it was awful. You know, the whole week it was terrible. And I remember laying there one day, and I heard a nurse come in, and she says, "Who's been watching this patient's temperature? You know, his temperature is way too high. He could die from this. We got to get it down. Bring some ice. Bring some towels." I remember laying there. I felt like I was dead almost. And I was laying there. It was unconscious almost. And she comes in and they started putting all this stuff on me and all these towels and, you know, just ice cold everything. Because this, you know, your temperature, when it's that high, you're just lethargic and you're just shaking in your boots because they had these weighted blankets on me and everything. But, I'm laying there though, and I remember that, and I said to myself, I gotta get out of here because I'm gonna be one of these people that they wheel out every night that die.
Mm-hmm.
Not from the cancer, from
right.
pneumonia.
Yeah, from the treatment
and
itself.
And that
yeah.
was happening all the time. And people that I'd talked to in the hallway and, you know, they seemed okay. And I'm like, well, I just talked to her, you know, a few days ago and she just died. How could that happen? So I thought, well, if I don't get out of here, I might be next here. They just about did me in today here. So I talked to the doctor. The doctor came in. He came in every day or so and see how you're doing. He says, well, I hear you're not doing very well. And I said to him, I said, well, I'm just sick. I've never been this sick in my life. I just can't eat. I can't, you know, I can't do anything. And I'm just throwing up everywhere. And he says, well, he says, that's because your body's rejecting the chemotherapy. And he says, you know, I'm sorry to tell you, you're just not responding the way we had hoped. And he says, you know, we're doing everything we know to do, but he says, you're just not responding very well. And I said to him, well, you know, isn't there something else we can do? And he says, no, this is all we know to do. And I said, well, what would you do if it was your son or daughter in here, laying in here? Because I could have been probably his son's age. And he said, I was 32 years old. And he says, well, I'd do the same thing. I said, even if it could kill him? He goes, well, it's all I know to do. And then I said, well, you know, I could die from these treatments. And he goes, well, he looks at me and he says, well, you know, we're all going to die someday.
Oof.
Just like that. And
oof.
I'm telling you what, I was very weak. I'd lost a lot of weight, but I raised up in that bed as best I could, in that hospital bed. And I said, listen here, you SOB. And I said that because it just made me so mad. His anger came over me. I said, if I could get out of this bed, I'd tear you apart. I said, you just took the, trying to take my hope away, take my will away. Just, you know, I'm not going to stand for it. And, you know, and when I called him that, he took off like he'd seen a ghost. I never saw the guy again ever. And because, two nights later, I made up my mind I was going to sneak out of the hospital. And I, at 2 a.m, I just got up, put my clothes on. I couldn't even hardly get around. I was so weak. But I snuck down the stairs, down the hallway at 2 a.m. And I went out to my car that was in the parking lot and I drove off and I never looked back. And I made up my mind right there that night that I was going to fight like I'd never fought before. And I was going to do everything I could. If it didn't, in this diet, this vitamin C therapy, and everything else I could learn about along my journey didn't work for me, it wasn't going to work for anybody because I was going to give 150%, and, you know, and that's exactly what I did, and that's, you know, it's been over 33 years ago. And I, you know, got heavily, heavily into everything, the macrobiotic diet, the lifestyle. I started taking huge amounts of vitamin C orally. I didn't do the IV vitamin C back then, but I sure did eat very strictly for a long time, like 6 years on the diet. And I was going to set the example, you know, I was going to kind of be the hero in my own life kind of thing. And And it was amazing, you know, how I would say probably 3 months after taking all that vitamin C and being on this diet, because I didn't go back. I didn't go back to this doctor. I didn't go back and do any more chemotherapy. It was a hard decision because I'd been brought up to thinking, you know, when you get sick, you go to the doctor.
Yeah. I mean,
do
it was,
what he says.
It
there's
was,
nothing else you can do.
It was it was a courageous thing to do because most passive patients, they do listen to the doctor. And ultimately, you know, when the treatment is inadequate, it's to their detriment. So for many years, you followed a strict macrobiotic diet, but there actually came a point, and you describe it in the book, where someone that you saw introduced a very, very revolutionary idea, which had to do with a kind of a departure from that very strict vegan diet.
Yes. After 6 years, and I end up eventually moving to the Macrobiotic Center out in Western Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. I'm very familiar with it.
And working with Michio Kushi's group, and mm-hmm. I became the operations manager for their facility out in Beckett, Massachusetts. And I ended up, you know, being in this environment of like-minded people, which is very important for me. And it's a long story. It's all in my book, of course. But I met some real key people. And, you know, after that, I met some people that at the Kushi Institute that were there, you know, working on their health. And one of the guys that I met there, he owned several health food stores down in New Jersey. And he was seeing a nutritionist up in that general area there. And it was none other than Ann Louise Gittleman, which we talked about at the beginning of the show. And Ann Louise was his nutritionist, and he went on and on about her and how she had helped him, and you know, and he was seeing her and everything, and he was, you know, doing some different supplements and things like that, and he was really high on her. So he said, look, she's given a lecture, and the lecture's on parasites, and it's parasites and your health. So he says, look, if you'll go with me, I'll pay your way. So I said, oh, sure, I'll go. So I went to this lecture, and there's Ann Louise. She's up there, and she's got a big crowd of people. It's at a hotel ballroom, and she was doing a two-day thing. And I went in there, and she started talking about parasites. And she said a lot of people that had parasites, she felt, were a lot of the cancer, you know, could be a part of the problem because it affects the immune system, you know, and it's very, very hard on your health. And she went on about it, and I went up to her after the lecture, and I said, Ann Louise, you know, I enjoyed your lecture, and I've had cancer, you know, I'm doing pretty well now, but, you know, do you think I might have parasites? So she says to me, says, well, you know, looked at me, yes, I think you do have parasites. And I said, you think I do? She goes, yeah. And I said, well, how do you know? And she says, you just have that parasitic look. And she says, I've been doing this a long time. I know what I'm talking about. And she says, if you don't believe me, or if you'd like to see someone that can really tell you for sure, she says, there's a world-renowned parasitologist in New York City, and his name is Dr. Herman Bueno.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from Columbia, and
right.
He said he's
and
the
I remember him very well
see.
From the 80s and 90s. Yeah, he's a world-renowned
yeah.
parasitologist, I believe, from Latin America, South America, Mexico,
Columbia,
where they really have to do a lot of tropical medicine down there because parasites are very common. And so he brought his expertise to the United States, used a special staining technique to pick up on parasites where other labs failed to pick them up. And I guess the rest is history. He found that you were carrying parasites.
Well, and I went to see him. She said, I'll go with you if you'd like someone to go along. I'd like to meet the guy myself. So I said, sure. I mean, here I'm, you know, Ann Louise Gittleman. You know, she's going to go with me. It's like, shoot, yeah, let's go, you know. So she went with me. I go in. I see Dr. Bueno.
It's an interesting idea for a first date. I mean, kind of an interesting way. You know, it's like...
That was kind of like a date, I guess, if you think of it like that.
Let's
I think
go to the parasitologist together.
To see exactly what he did, you know. But we were just... it was all professional and mm-hmm. everything. But I go in. I see Dr. Bueno, and he took a sample, a tissue swab sample, and he took it out there, and then he had one of these teaching microscopes with the two sides, and, you know, he'd look at it and show me what he's looking at. And he went in. He says, well, he says, my friend, he says, you've got a lot of parasites. And he says, you've got Giardia. He says, you've got an amoeba histolytica. And he says, you've also got, you know, something called Ascaris lumbricoides. And he says, that's none other than roundworm.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, I want to tell you something right now. Parasites is one of the most immunosuppressive things you can have in your body. He says, think about it. When you go to the veterinarian, the first thing they check for is parasites in a dog or cat. He says, they don't do that with humans. But he says, I'll tell you another thing. I have never seen a case of cancer or AIDS that came to my office that didn't have some kind of parasitic involvement. So I got my attention right then, and I said to myself, wow, what about all these other people, not only at the Cushy Institute, but all over the place that have cancer and are trying to, you know, figure out something they need to do. And I got interested in it, you know, and started to think, well, I'm going to get rid of these parasites, because he prescribed some herb formulas that he really felt were important. He didn't feel the drugs worked very well. So he says, I'm going to give you the herbs. This is what I use with my patients. So I went home, I got on these herbal formulas, and I actually took herbal formulas for about 3 months. And, I couldn't imagine the things that I was seeing from these herbal formulas that I ended up taking. But I just could never get out of my mind about what he said to me. And I got to thinking, you know, I want to do something to help other people. I want to get well from this and figure out a way. Maybe there's a way I can help people, you know, learn more about this parasite thing. Because I'd had animals, dogs, cats, pigs, cows, you know, I'd had all this stuff. I'd been down to Mexico a bunch. So, you know, it didn't surprise me at all mm-hmm. that I had this problem going on. But, you know, before I knew it, you know, Ann Louise and me became friends, and we ended up together eventually as a couple. And, of course, it's a long story. It's all in my book again. But Ann Louise had a teacher, and her name was Dr. Hazel Parcells. And Dr. Hazel Parcells was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And we had decided that we wanted to move to Santa Fe, New Mexico, because there was a lot of health, you know, oriented things going on there. And they had, you know, they were famous for that and, you know, for a lot of other things. And we thought, you know, this would be great. Let's go there and you know, set up camp out there and see what we can get into here. And
by the way, this is all while you're a greater than 5-year survivor of melanoma, where you were told your prognosis for survival was maybe 10-20% for 5 years. So this is you've surpassed the 5-year margin at this point.
I was close to the 5-year margin around there, probably mm-hmm. getting close to it, because I was I was still into the macrobiotic diet. You know, I wouldn't eat out in restaurants. If I traveled, I'd carry my dry foods.
Mm-hmm.
I cook in motel rooms. And, you know, I was one of these guys that wasn't going to give any of my money to restaurants, because I was going to, you know, not cut any corners. So I was very strict, and I was pretty thin. I lost a lot of weight. So I don't think it was maybe the best thing to be on this diet forever. A healing diet is not always the diet you want to stay on.
So long and short of it, because our time is limited, Dr. Parcells suggested that you begin eating some animal protein. Which your body tolerated. It did not cause an immediate recurrence of the cancer. And so currently your diet is kind of a modified macrobiotic diet, which includes animal protein.
Yes, it kind of is. And I use, it's a little bit different. I feel like there's a certain amount of non-negotiable things that you have to do. Of course, you've got to eat organic. And I think people have cancer, and it depends on the type of cancer. But I think they have cancer, you know, the basic macrobiotic principle isn't a real bad way to go. But, you know, all those grains, 50% of my diet was grains, whole grains, organic whole brown rice, you know, barley, millet, all that stuff, and seaweed, 10%, 5% seaweed, 10% soups, 10%, 25% vegetables, organic vegetables, especially, you know, all the cancer-fighting vegetables. So I feel that's very important, but, you know, I don't eat that much grain anymore because of the, there's a lot of toxicity out there in the grains, and there's arsenic and a lot of the grains and cadmium. And, you know, we're trying to get rid of all the cancer-causing things, get rid of all the toxic overload, and put all the good cancer-fighting properties back into the system. And that's what Dr. Parcells told me. He says, you're going to have to eat more animal food now. You're at the time when you need to, you know, get into a little bit more animal protein. So I wasn't going to ever do that. You know, I thought I was doing the right thing. Of course, I still take to this day a lot of vitamin C, and I probably never get off the vitamin C because I know too much about it now. But, you know, it's a remarkable, you know, diet that, for people that are sick. But now I use lean protein, but I basically use a lot of the same principles. You know, I like personally, I like the miso soup. And I like the fiber in that diet because it's a prebiotic, and as you know, 80%, up to 80% of our immune system is our gut health.
Well, James, the book is very detailed in terms of the approaches that you've explored and taken,
Yes. And
it's very inspirational. And I think the bottom line is that people given a challenging cancer diagnosis should follow your example and empower themselves to seek answers wherever they can find them. And there is no one way, you know, there's no miracle cure for cancer. But you, through your own ingenuity and through self-empowerment, seem to have gotten on top of a very, very impossible situation. So the book is inspiring. Yeah. I recommend it very highly. It's I Used to Have Cancer, How I Found My Own Way Back to Health. And your book, in turn, will help others find their own way back to health. And I want to thank you, and I want to also send regards to my good colleague, Ann Louise Gittleman.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ron. It's been a pleasure. And they can get my book at iusedtohavecancer.com, and I have 3 free downloads that they can get also. That it has links over to the major booksellers, but they want to get the 3 downloads. The first one is the top 5 supplements that I believe are so important to use. And then there's 10 recipes that I follow on a regular basis that I think are very important that people can give them an example of what kind of diet they can follow. And, you know, it's very important, for that. So anyway, they'll get these downloads and, they can, also buy it at Barnes & Nobles or Amazon.
Okay. The book is I Used to Have Cancer. James Templeton, thank you very much. Thanks for sharing your story with our audience.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it very much.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol. My personal supplement recommendations to ensure your skeletal health. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. In addition to the Bone Health Protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links from my Supplement Starter Kit, Heart Health Protocol, and much more. These new protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle, and for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.